What a week. There were several weeks ago that I brought a message, but if not, looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How many remember that message? That if not, and it had to do with this idea of trust. And then last week, I looked at the great patriarch of Noah. And it says that in a world gone wrong, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. It was never more evident this week than our world has gone wrong in a number of fronts. The world, we talked about the groanings of the world desiring to be back in the condition that it was created to be in, and there's groanings. On Monday, I don't have to repeat all that's been on the news, but what happened at the Boston Marathon with several people dying, a number of injured. On Wednesday of this week, right before our Wednesday night service, the explosion goes off in West Texas. I guess 14 as of now that have passed away, hundreds injured. China with an earthquake, a number of people dying in China. Probably, though, to me, one of the most disturbing stories of the week, kind of got lost, was this abortion doctor and the things that are coming out that he had perpetrated. We live in a world that has gone wrong and is going wrong. And what you trust in, and I go back to this theme which I have kind of been in and out of, I can't seem to escape it, but that which you are putting your trust in will determine how you navigate this world gone wrong. Where is your trust? Where is your confidence this morning? The psalmist, David, he shares a lot about trust throughout the Psalms, And he, in a number of places, tells us what we should not be putting our trust in. I do want you to turn your Bibles, though, and get your finger in your Bibles or your whatever, PDAs, to Psalms 91. We're going to look at a wonderful passage this morning in Psalms. But I first want to just to identify a few of the things that the psalmist would tell us not to put our trust in. Father, anoint your word to our hearts today. Lord, I pray, burn the hay and stubble of this message and purify that which you want to bring to our hearts. Give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see what your Spirit is saying. And Lord, we do pray for our world and even particularly America today that we would turn our hearts to you. And Lord, I pray for those in Boston and Lord, those that have been impacted so direly, Lord, by these events. Those that have lost loved ones, those that are still in the hospital, Lord, I pray that you would bring them through and that Jesus would, the message of Jesus would be shared clearly, Lord. Those that are suffering this morning in Texas and this afternoon there, that, Lord, you would surround this community, Lord. Those in China, Lord. Those in Mississippi in the floods. And, Lord, and may we be stirred this morning, that may we, as we let your Spirit search our hearts, may, Lord, we be found as a people who are putting their trust in God. We pray this in Jesus' name. He tells us a number of things of what not to trust in. In Psalms 49, 6 and 7, he says, "Don't put your trust in wealth and riches. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him." David would tell us that you and I are not to put in this day, in this time, or any time as far as that goes, our trust in wealth and riches. The reason why is that money cannot buy that which we need. Money, there is just no way. You cannot buy what you need. You can't buy health, for instance. You can't buy it. So some people think that they can. but they can't. Trust only in the Lord. He says, don't put your trust in weapons. It's interesting because David was kind of a weapon guy. You know, he had a slingshot, and then we know that he had arrows and a bow. And he says this in Psalms 44, 6, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Here's a person who knows weapons. He knows how to use them. He is a war guy. He is in battles continually in his lifetime. And yet he says, I will not put my trust in the bow. I will not put my confidence in those things that supposedly will either protect me or advance my cause. Don't put trust in those. Again, trust in the Lord. He says, don't put your trust in men. Psalms 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And then it says, it is better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in princes. And you know, and I would equate that in our day and age, because unfortunately, especially like in America, there seems to be a whole lot of confidence in our leaders to make our lives better, that they are going to make decisions that have the best interest of our nation at heart. I'm not so sure of that. You can put your trust in even our leaders today in that way. Even from a terms of the economy, I'm not sure that there's anybody that seemingly has the right answers to somehow get the economy moving again. And if that be true, and you can debate that, but if that be true, I don't want to put my trust in them. That somehow, okay, I'm going to wait for things to get a little better. I'm going to put my trust ultimately in God. And hopefully you will do the same. Don't put your trust in men or princes. Our ultimate trust must be in God. The psalmist would further go on to say, don't put your trust in chariots and horses. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Psalms 27, don't put your trust in chariots or horses. Now, by the way, chariots and horses of that day was the supreme weapon of that day. That was the latest, if you will, technology of that day. The kings and those who had chariots and horses grew to depend upon, if you will, that kind of warfare. Armies had them. Not all of them had them. You were at a great advantage if you had chariots and horses. But those who had them had a real advantage. And David, by the way, had fought against chariots and horses, and he defeated the chariots and horses many times in battles. Our trust is to be in the Lord. You don't have to have the odds in your favor. You do not have, in this day and age, have to have the latest thing in order, if you will, to advance or to put yourself forward. You do not have to have the latest technology to win. You don't have to be in, if you will, a position of strength to win. You don't have to be the best to win. You don't have to have the latest to win. You need to put your trust in God. You need to put your trust in God. So don't trust in chariots and horses or the latest things. Don't put your confidence there. Isaiah, he would say that we are not to put our trust in vanity or lies. In Isaiah 59, that is, don't put your trust or become prideful in your abilities to work it out on your own. Or even the persuasive words. Don't trust in the power of persuasion, whether it be you're the one trying to persuade or you are being persuaded. Don't put your trust in the words of man. Ezekiel would say that you and I were not to put our trust in our own righteousness. And Paul would add to that, do not put your trust in yourself or in the flesh. Trust in the Lord alone. And the Psalm 62:8 says this, trust in him at all times. At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Put your trust in God at all times. At all times. In the good and in the bad, put your trust in God. when it is convenient and when it is not convenient, put your trust in God. When things are clear or when you are a little confused, put your trust in God. The ultimate trust must be in God. In fact, as several weeks ago, as we were looking at, I don't know if it was the passage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. No, it was a Psalms that I preached on, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Let me just say this, and that message had to do with not trusting God so much for things, but trusting God in everything. Do not trust Him solely based upon the request that you give Him. Yeah, we trust in Him for those things, but ultimately our trust is in Him. And the message of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is to say, no matter what happens in terms that of my God's ability, He is able to deliver me, but no matter whether He does or not, I am going to trust in God. That is the message for today. Trust in God. Ultimately, our trust must be in Him. I know it's not a very profound message, but it is a message for this moment and this day for God's people. Unfortunately, I would say that we have basked in the confidence of a democracy. But now we have seen our democracy turn its back on God, and we, the people of God, don't like it, do we? Because now probably over half of our democracy are bent on rebelling against God. So now the majority, if you will, we are the minority. But I want to look at this incredible passage of Scripture found in Psalms 91. If you are not one that studies or reads God's Word a whole lot, maybe this will be new to you. For those of us that have been around for years, we have often turned to this passage of Scripture in times where we need great encouragement. At times that we have needed strength, that we have needed hope, we have turned to this passage. Some people in this room know this passage by heart. Others, this is going to be new to you today. And you are going to embrace this passage as well. I love this passage, Psalms 91. I'm reading out of the King James this morning. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence or perilous pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Does anybody else love that passage of Scripture? I love that. I love what it says to us. In verse 2, it says, trust is something, first of all, that is to be said and declared. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord. By the way, our trust in God is not to be secret. It is not to be undercover. It is sad today that everybody else is coming out of the closet except we believers. And it is time that we come out of the closet and say, I declare in this moment of my life that I put my trust in God. Hello. You have to give voice to your trust. That's what it says. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Do you say of the Lord today? Do you declare it? Do you speak it? Do you give voice to your trust? Have we already in this moment, we've had opportunity, now we have been together at least organized somewhat in the last hour and 5 minutes. And in this setting, every person in this place should have already given voice to the one that they trust in. They should have given praise to the person that they love, that person of Jesus Christ. Have you already given voice to who you put your trust in today? No, I haven't, Pastor, because I didn't like the songs that they sung today. Shame on you. You had an opportunity to put voice to your trust. Oh, God, help us if we ever get that way. God, help us if all you have noticed this morning is all the negative things and you have failed to come into the presence of Almighty God and put voice to your love and your trust of Him. God, help us if that is the case. Of course, it's not. Everyone in this room loves everything that has happened already this morning. And you are rejoicing in the presence of God. I'm looking at all the smiles around the congregation. You are just happy to be here. You're clapping, but there's a little cynicism in there from my voice. Believe me, I know. I have preached my heart out at times, and the things that people get out of it, it's amazing to me. Were you in the same service? That two people could come to the same service and says, what a wonderful presence of God. And the person says, that was the most boring thing I've ever been a part of. In the same service, some of them sitting right next to each other. By the way, if that was your husband, just hit him in the... But we need to give voice to our trust in prayer and in praise. In fact, is this must be such a part of our life that it just flows from our life, regardless of where we are. And it is easy to do in this place, in this setting. But I want to challenge you this week on the job site, at the school place, in the room, in the neighborhood, at the marketplace. Give voice to whom you trust. Give voice to that. Declare it. Not in an in-your-face type of thing. Can I tell you, the world right now is afraid of all that is happening. We need a voice of someone who says there's something greater to put your trust in. There is something far more reliable than all the things that are happening in our world. I want to put my trust in God and I want to give voice to that. I want you to give voice to that as well. It may be the very hope that someone needs in your life this week. Because someone will inevitably talk to you about how their life is crumbling. And the Bible says, give reason for the hope that you have. Declare your trust. Give voice to your trust. Trust in God alone. He says a couple things that it becomes our refuge. A place, if you will, of safety. He mentions the word fortress, which denotes this idea of protection. Your trust in God is a place of refuge. Your trust in God is a fortress, a place of protection. What he is saying is that when you trust in God, you enter that place of safety. You enter that place of protection. A fortress, or another phrase that is often used, is a strong tower or a high tower that was built in the middle of towns. And it was usually built out of stone, a very strong place. It was fortified, if you will. It was also called a place, a keep, a keep. It was a place that you kept the valuables safe as well as people safe. A fortress, a refuge. And when the enemy came, and typically they would know that the enemy was coming in, the people of the town would run to the high tower, the place, the fortress, would run to this place of safety. And the idea was that you stayed there. The enemy would be defeated as you stayed in the place of his refuge and the fortress. You would find victory there. They couldn't defeat you there. You were to stay there. It would keep you safe. If you stayed in the tower, and I will just say this, if you stay in that place of trust in God, you will be in a place of safety. You will be in a place of protection from God. That's why this whole issue is so critical and so important. Where is your trust today? Because that will be where you will go for your protection. And if it is not God, you are going to be vulnerable to the enemy. If your trust is in any of those things that even the psalmist has mentioned, of not putting your trust, if your trust is there, you become vulnerable to the enemy. And the enemy wants to entice you to come out, believe me. If the city, the people within the villages, they left the high tower or the fortress, can I tell you, it was a sure sign that they would be defeated. When you trust in God, the devil knows, by the way, there is a real devil today. He knows that you are in a safe place if your trust is in God. He knows that. He knows that you are in a place of protection if your trust is in God. He knows that a person who trusts God cannot be defeated. If your trust is in God, you cannot be defeated. You will have victory. You will have success over all the works of the enemy if your trust is in God. Do I have anybody that believes that this morning here? That's why this is so critical. The devil wants you to leave the refuge. He wants you to leave the strong tower. He wants you to vacate the fortress. He wants you to abandon your trust in God. He wants you to believe that you can abandon your trust in God and manage on your own. And by the way, if you receive his word, it will be a sure recipe for your destruction. If you go back in time, the king of Assyria, he had sent an envoy to the city of Jerusalem, and the envoy spoke in Hebrew, and they tried to convince the inhabitants to come out. He said things like, there is no way that Hezekiah can save you and keep you safe. He went on to say that and threaten them that we have destroyed bigger cities than yours, and we will do the same. Do not trust in Hezekiah. He wanted them to leave the place of their strength. He wanted them to leave the high tower. The enemy today, likewise, in our lives, is trying to do exactly the same. He says things like this: why don't you just give up that trust stuff? It doesn't work. Look at what's happening in your life. Everything in your life is going wrong. All those prayers that you have asked God to answer, there's been no answers. Those promises haven't been fulfilled. He doesn't really love you. All these bad things in your life prove that God doesn't care. Those are the things that the enemy says to us, to entice us to come out of that refuge, that place of safety, of that place of trust. He would ask you questions like, where is he right now? He has abandoned you. Nothing in your life is going very well. There is no God. Come out. Come out. Nothing is going to happen. Nothing is going to cave in on your life. That word sounds awful familiar to the Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Go ahead and eat the... it's just a piece of fruit. You're not going to surely die. So you leave. And unfortunately today, people that have once tasted the goodness of God have left the place of safety, have put their trust in other things, have abandoned their trust. And if they were here this morning, I know that some of them would tell you, it is the worst decision that I ever made, but I can't seem to find a way back. And that, by the way, that is a lie of the enemy as well. Because if you have left that place of trust, can I tell you, there is a God this morning who will welcome you back. Yes. You can put your trust in Him today. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He is there to welcome you back in. Put your trust in God today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight, or He will direct your paths. It may not seem at times that there is any, if you will, safety. We have talked much about a theology of God and answering prayers. There are those times. I will tell you this honestly, and I want to give you good theology. There are times that even in our lives, we have asked God specifically for things and seemingly it didn't happen or the answer did not come. But I'm here to testify, I am not going to leave the safety of the high tower. I'm not going to leave the safety, if you will, of the trust that I have placed in God. You should not leave it either, because it is your only hope. And I would say all things work together for the good of them. For some reason, when God does not answer, He has got a better plan. But do not leave the safety of the high tower. Do not leave the safety of the fortress of God. Especially in this time. He's coming soon. He is coming soon. Don't abandon your trust. Don't listen to the enticement of the enemy that says it doesn't make any difference. Can I tell you, it makes all the difference in the world. We have to stay in the place of trust. Always. Never leave the strong tower. It is there that you cannot be defeated. Stay there. Stay there. Stay there in the place of trust. He says in verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. I love the picture of this. God is an eagle with you and I under His wings as His children. The picture is one of intimacy, of closeness. The picture of an eagle taking the young under its wings. And basically, the eagle in that gesture is saying that I'll take the storm, I'll take the blows, I'll protect you, I'll take the outside, if you will, influences, I'll take that for you. That's what the eagle is telling us. It means that trust is close. I want you to hear this, and I know it's not, again, very profound, but it's something that you need to hold on to today. Trust is close. You cannot trust God at a distance. It tells us that trust and intimacy go hand in hand. You have to be close to God to be under His wings. Doesn't that make sense? You have to be close. You have to be there. You have to be, for us men that have trouble with the word intimate, we need to get over it. We need to be close to God in order, if you will, to have His wings protecting us. You cannot trust when you're out of relationship with God. Under His wings, close is the idea. And what a week that this week has come about, as we have, many of us have prayed, we have interceded, as we have watched reports throughout our world. And the image that I have, especially of Monday, was after the bomb went off, people running. I'm sure that some of you thought they were running away, but people do not run away from that. They run to something. People want to find some kind of security in those moments. I listened to some of the audio of different things, especially like with the West Texas explosion. And I heard this audio of the daughter going, "Daddy, get out of here, get out of here, get out of here, Daddy." But people tend to run to something that is secure. we run to people, don't we? Every night at some point between the hours of 2 and 4 a.m., my daughter runs not to another room in the house. She runs into our room so she can kick us the rest of the night. She never runs into the living room. She never runs downstairs to her brother's room. She runs to our room. And she wants to be in the middle. Body on one side and body on the other side. That is the nature of people. We run to people. We run to people who are secure. We run to those places, if you will, that give us that sense of safety. When Addie gets scared, she runs to us. A place of refuge. A place of protection. In many ways, we are her fortress in those moments. When she might have a nightmare, we become her protection and a place of fortress. You cannot have that kind of relationship and not be close to God. You cannot receive God's protection from a distance. It calls for intimacy. It calls for closeness. And I appreciate the fact that week after week, now it was, I don't even know how long ago it was. What year are we in? 2013? It was 12 years ago at this, probably very Sunday, this Sunday, that I was elected as your pastor, 12 years ago. And you come week after week, many of you, some of you come every other week. Some come every 3 weeks. But you come back, and I do appreciate that very much. But my concern is that there are many this morning that are trying to serve God at a distance. They want the protection and the safety that a refuge and a fortress can offer without being so close. Hear the heart of this pastor this morning. It's probably the greatest frustration of any pastor when they see people that are here, and we appreciate everyone. I love you very, very much, and I would not be a good pastor to tell you the truth that you cannot serve God at a distance. You cannot expect His protection and safety from being far off and disconnected. You have to be close to the eagle in order to be wrapped around its wings. But you make a deliberate choice if you decide to go it on your own and to manage on your own and to receive whatever protection you can get from a distance. You cannot. It requires closeness. It requires intimacy, nearness. I love the song that we sing very often still. It's an old song. Draw me close to you, never let me go. That is the idea of the refuge and the fortress. In our difficulties and trials, God says that I want you to be close to me so I can protect you. I want you to know that you are in a safe place, but you have to be close to me. You have to be near me in order to have that kind of protection. You have to come to that place of refuge. And notice what he says in verses 3 and 4. It says, surely he shall deliver, is one side of, if you will, the truth. And then in verse 4, he shall cover thee. And the theology, or at least the teaching that I have been trying to give you, so you are not blown out of the water when God doesn't do things just the way that you want to, that you have to have a faith in God that says, no matter what, I'm going to trust God no matter what. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to continue to pray and believe God to heal, to restore, to bring back. I'm going to believe God that His promises, they are yes and amen. I'm going to believe for His deliverance. But notice what it says here. He shall deliver, and you, that, by the way, that is a promise that is true. He shall deliver. That is unequivocally true. But here is even to me a greater promise, if you will. I'm going to be delivered. All of us are going to be delivered as we stay close to God. But here's the promise. When he doesn't deliver, verse 4 says that he will cover you. He will protect you. In the trials of life, he is going to cover you. You may be going through the storm, but he will protect you in that midst of that storm. He will show you things about himself that you would have never known had you not gone through it. But a theology that is out there today, that God should do exactly what I want him to do, when I want him to do it, in the way that I want him to do it, and if he doesn't do it, I'm out. I'm going to leave the protection of the refuge. I'm going to abandon the fortress because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. I'm going to tell you something. He is a sovereign God. He does what he wants to with a purpose. The truth is that all things will work together for the good of them who love him, who are called according to his purpose, who are close to him, who will not abandon the refuge, who will not abandon their trust. He will keep you. If he doesn't deliver you, he will wrap his wings around you and he will see you through. That is the promise of God. Every time. He shall deliver you, yes. And when he doesn't deliver you, he shall cover you with his wings. Isn't that good? I love that because it frees me up, because so many of us, we have prayed and believed God for things. It didn't come through. So somebody says, well, you have lack of faith, or there's sin in your life, or there's all kinds of issues happening. No, I am in Christ and you are in Christ. He is going to work it out for my good. Regardless of whether he delivers me from the fire or he delivers me in the fire, I'm going through with Jesus. I'm going through. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to trust in him. I am not going to leave the place of refuge and fortress, because I know he will cover me. Every time he will cover me, he will protect me and keep me. That's why trust is so important. It is a definite. I, as you do, love to be delivered. And whenever he doesn't deliver, he always covers. Let us not get so bent out of shape when he doesn't do all the things we have ordered him to do. But let's put our trust in him. He's got you. I love this. He's got you covered. He's got you covered. He's got you covered, but you got to be close. You got to be close to him. I close with this. It says, in him I will trust. Several times. You see, your trust in God is an act of faith. It is an act of your will. At the moment that Jairus' daughter, Jairus had been to Jesus, saying, come, save and heal my daughter. He got word that his daughter had died. He had a choice at that moment to believe what Jesus was saying or what the others were saying. You know, you have that same choice as well. I remember there was a lady a number of years ago. We would sing songs in the congregation. She would sing another song. I guess if you don't like the songs that we sing, just sing your own song as we sing those other songs. She was singing another song, but the song that she was singing, I'll never forget the song. It's a song that I don't know if we've ever done. It says, whose report will you believe? We will believe in the report of the Lord. She would sing that song just about every time, no matter what we were singing. We'd be singing Victory in Jesus, and she'd be singing, whose report will you believe? I love that song, though. I mean, you look around the world today, and here's the question. Whose report will you believe? Oh, our world is falling apart. No, I'm going to believe in the reality. We sung the song this morning that our God reigns, that our God is in control, that if you put your trust in him, you have a refuge and a fortress in him. I'm going to believe that. What are you going to believe today? It's an act of the will. It's an act of your faith. Psalms 112:7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings, talking about the people of God. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is fixed. Are you fixed today? Is it settled with you? Is it a done deal with you of who you are going to put your trust in? Is that a done deal? Is it fixed in your heart? I trust, no pun intended, I trust that it is. Whose report will you believe? We will believe the report of the Lord. Trust. Trust is close. Are you close to God? Are you under the protection, the safety of His wonderful provision? He is a high tower. He is a refuge. He is a fortress. A mighty God is He. Are you under His protection? Are you close enough for Him to wrap His wings around you? Or are you serving God this morning from a distance? Just the fact that you're here today does not necessarily assume that you are serving God at a close range. There's a lot of people in church today that are still serving God from a distance. Please, and I want you to hear the plea of my heart. It is time to stop playing games with God. You cannot serve God at a distance. You cannot serve God under your terms, under your own terms of doing and coming and going as you please. There is a day coming that you are going, and I believe we're at that day, that you want to be wrapped in His wings. You want to be in the high tower. Today is a day to be in the high tower, to be in the fortress, to be in a place of His refuge. And it all has to do with who you will put your trust in. Where is your trust today? Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You for Your word to our hearts today. Unfortunately,